Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that today is Resurrection Day, that we're remembering the resurrection of your Son Jesus from the dead. And as we look at this passage, may you speak to it through us and speak through my words as well. Amen. I was listening to the radio one night. It's one of those shows where they get a guest in who talk about what they do, their profession, and then they actually get people to ring in and ask questions. And I was quite interested in the person they got. It was the president of this particular association, the Funeral Directors Association. And so the questions were, how much does it cost? What happens? Can you make your own coffin? The answer is apparently yes. Can it be out of cardboard? No, because of health regulations. And I've done hundreds of funerals. And people I know, some of them, sometimes people that I don't know. Sad and tragic at times. Rejoicing because the person is in heaven at times. Sometimes humorous things happen. I usually take out of my pocket my mobile phone at the beginning, especially when I do them in the old church, and say, if you've got one of these mobile phones, good to put it on mute. So I did that one time and put it back in my pocket, and guess whose phone went off? It was mine. I'd forgotten to turn it off. Anyway, so I haven't brought my mobile phone to show you today in case that happened. Also, I remember at Barrow Cemetery, it had been raining for days and it was a burial and we were going there to do the burial. And if you know Barrow Cemetery, there's a bit of a slope and the grave was very close to where the slope was. And they drove the hearse in and it didn't get very far. It just got bogged and bogged and then there's all this mud and stuff flying out. Didn't really add to the occasion, but I must admit it was very hard not to laugh. There's lots of things happen at funerals. Some of them becoming more complex now. Lots of differences in funerals and lots of similarities. Now, there's one thing that's similar to every funeral I've done. Everyone. And I've done hundreds. I have never, ever met, after the funeral, the person whose funeral I've taken. I've never met them. Contrast that to Jesus. Jesus dies and then comes back to life. It's a unique thing that happens. He is risen. You notice up on there, he is risen. It's on the back of your handout, but it looks better in colour, doesn't it? I'm going to say the words, and I'd like you to say after that, he is risen indeed. So, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, he is. That's what we want to get excited about. We know on Good Friday, we remembered that last Friday, that Jesus dies on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He's buried in a tomb in a garden. Joseph Arimathea owns this tomb, a rich man who's a follower of Jesus. It happens in Jerusalem. Now, I've had the privilege of going to Jerusalem a couple of times. Here's my wife Marge 2 years ago when we were in Jerusalem, and she's looking out from the Mount of Olives over Jerusalem. Here's one of the sites that they think maybe this is where Jesus was buried. It's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And you see, it was a hill, but they've created this huge, great church, and it's very popular. You can actually go right in and go right down to where maybe the tomb of Jesus was. They don't actually know. The trouble with this church is that there's lots of altars and lights and everything. It just doesn't look right to me. There's another place in Jerusalem which is outside like this place, the original city walls, and we saw it on the film before, and it's the Garden Tomb. This was discovered in the late 1800s, the 19th century, and they excavated it. They found a tomb from the first century, and it's empty. Whether it's Jesus' tomb or not, we don't know, as John Dixon, historian, says. But just near this tomb, in fact, if you go just about 50 metres away, you can look out at something. You can see there's the awning above. Have a look at this. An eye, and a nose. It shows that rock formations look like what? The place of the skull Golgotha, where Jesus was actually crucified. Whether this is the right one or not, we don't know, but we do know that the rock formations can form formations like that. The garden tomb, there's Sam and Lucy standing in front of it. It's good to go in, and it's set in a garden. It's very peaceful. There's Marge standing at the door and says, "He is not here, he is risen." And last picture, you actually see the gutter. You can see the gutter where the stone goes, and that is where, that's somebody's foot. So you can see it's a big stone, and the stone has been, as you see up there, rolled away. There's my pictures. I want you just to have in your mind, either that or something else, what actually happens as we look at the details. John chapter 20, verse 1. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and sees that the stone has been removed from the entrance. It's the first day of the week. It's a Sunday. The early Christians thought the resurrection was so important that they changed the Sabbath from a Saturday to a Sunday, so that each Sunday we can remember the resurrection, but especially on Easter Sunday. And this first witness is a woman. In the other Gospels it says there's a group of women, but here only Mary Magdalene is named. It's astounding that it's a woman. Let me tell you why. In the first century, it was very different to our 21st century. First century, women's testimonies were not considered valid. In fact, in a law court, a woman wouldn't be accepted as a witness. Fortunately, it has changed, and that's good. But if you were making this up, there's no way you would have put a woman being the first witness to the resurrection, because it just doesn't make sense. It rings true, though, because the first witness is a woman, and you wouldn't have made it up that way. Mary goes and sees that the stone's been rolled away. So what does she do? Verse 2 following. She goes and gets Peter, Simon Peter, and the other disciple. Do you notice he's not named? But we know from other parts of the gospel, this is the author of the gospel, John himself. So Peter and John come running to the tomb. And what happens? Well, John gets there first. He looks in and starts to contemplate the significance of what has happened. Peter goes in and he sees the grave clothes lying there. Do you notice what's happening? He sees the strips of linen and the burial cloth. They've been removed and they're lying on the ground. Think about the significance of this. I reckon it means that no human hands have removed the body of Jesus. If they had, they would have left the burial cloths wrapped around him. Why? Well, Jesus' death is grisly, gruesome. He is whipped before, then he dies the horrible bloody death on the cross. And his blood would have stuck to the clothes. So if you'd taken his body, you would have taken the whole thing. But no, he has been raised. And the cloth and the linen is there neatly left behind. In verse 8, we see that John sees and believes. He goes inside, sees and believes. But he doesn't understand how it all fits together. He doesn't put the pieces together till afterwards. The fact that Jesus himself had predicted he would rise from the dead. That the Old Testament predicts that Jesus would rise from the dead. You see, God does what he promises. He keeps his promise and Jesus is raised from the dead. Now the disciples then return home. Turning over the page to verse 10. Disciples go back, but Mary, she stays. She looks in and she sees two angels. She is upset. She is crying. And the angels try and help Mary because she doesn't know what's happened to Jesus' body yet. And then Jesus talks to her. At first, she doesn't realize who he is. She assumes he's the gardener. Verses 14 to 16 are the climax of the whole gospel. Our familiarity with them has blunted its impact because we think about it every Easter. But just imagine if it was happening for the first time as I read verses 14 to 16. At this, Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus was dead. He's now alive. Through Jesus, we can obtain eternal life. Our sins are forgiven. On Good Friday, we remember Jesus dies for our sins. On Easter Sunday, we remember his resurrection, which guarantees our resurrection. What happens to Mary? She is transformed by Jesus appearing. Before, she's weeping and burdened. Then she has tremendous excitement. We can be transformed. If the resurrection is not affecting you, why not? Because it should. I was talking about funerals at the beginning. Let me share with you, there are two different types of funerals that I take. Often funerals are people that don't go to church regularly, and we don't know whether they have a relationship with God or not. And I just don't know. I don't presume to know. Only God knows. But it seems to me more and more nowadays there is a denial of death by elaborate slideshows, by a whole lot of songs, by a number of eulogies saying how wonderful the person is. And there's a sadness there. If you contrast that with a Christian, someone who really believes in Jesus, there is sadness, yes, but there is joy that that person is now in heaven. And how do we know? Well, it's because of the resurrection guarantees life after death. Mary sees Jesus and is overwhelmed with joy. She then goes to the... Then the scene shifts... to Mary going back to the apostles. And they're hiding in a little room, a locked room. They're still insecure. And Jesus appears to them. He says, peace be with you. The Hebrew word that's still said in Israel is shalom, which incorporates peace with God, peace with each other, peace within you. All the blessings of God's peace is in this statement, peace be with you. Jesus shows the disciples his hands and his side, the wounds there. And then he tells them, go and tell others all about this, the great news. And the disciples are overjoyed. Are you overjoyed? Are we overjoyed? What are things that make you joyful? Well, holidays, people are probably excited about the holidays at the moment, even if it's just for 4 days. Maybe trips, maybe achievements at work or school, sporting triumphs, experiencing the birth of a new baby, having your emotions lifted up at a concert or at a movie, falling in love. All these things are wonderful, exciting things, but pale into insignificance compared to the joy the disciples had at seeing Jesus rose from the dead. You see, all seems lost, and Jesus is risen. He comes alive again, and they are overjoyed. The question is, do we share their joy? Is it the greatest thing in our lives? Friends, I want to say it should be. If you're not sure about this, come and do the Life of Jesus course with me on Wednesday. We'd love to help you to understand more. See, knowing Jesus has risen from the dead should be the most exciting news you've ever heard. We're now going to watch that film we saw at the beginning, the short little mini movie that does in a modern framework about Jesus rising from the dead, what it means to us. Goes for a couple of minutes. And that'll be the finish of my talk.